Well, good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. This is the midweek service for June the 13th. No, it's not. It's the Lord's Day service for June the 13th. Goodness. It seems many as the times by the time we do our midweek service on a morning and then our weekend service or Lord's Day service in the morning, it just seems like there's two Lord's Days in the week, which is a good thing, but we're glad you can join us. We want to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing hymn number 236 in the hymn books. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength. Lord, we thank you that you love us and you watch over us. We're thankful, Lord, that you sent your Son to give his life on the cross for us, and not only that, but you give to each one that accepts him. Lord, of yourself, of the Holy Spirit as a companion and guide for the rest of our lives. I pray you, Father, please, that you would bless each soul that hears this, that it would be a help, and that it would be born in love, Lord, and that souls would realize that the words that are spoken here are not spoken to hurt, are not spoken to turn away from Christ, but they're spoken, Lord, to say what's right and to show, Lord, that even when the words are difficult, that you do love us. Please bless, Lord, I pray, each one of us this morning. I just want to call out the names of our congregation, Lord, near and far. And we think especially on Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang and that gentleman in England, Lord, that Chinese doctor in England that got saved, Mr. Bao Chung Wang. Please, Lord, I pray you, educate him. Give Ling and Dr. Shang and Frank the words and the wisdom that he needs, Lord, and the guidance that he needs to help him. Please, Lord, I pray. Remember too, Lord, Brother Will, and pray that you'd watch over and keep him as he labours on to in his home. For John as well, Lord, please help and keep him. For Christine, for Mary Ann, for David and Naomi, Lord, and their families. For Paul and William, for Rachel and wee Lily Ann. For Lord, for Reggie as well. Please, I pray you put your good hand upon this whole family connection. Or don't forget Leonard either, Lord, and even though he's not with us, I know he would be here if he could be here because he always enjoyed the run out. And I know he was a bit of a handful, Lord, and I know you had to bring him low before he ever trusted you in a childlike way to accept your Son as Saviour. But thank you for him, Lord, and the time we had with him. Please look after him, Lord, if he's still going down there in Macrofelt. And we're not forgetting either Esther. And I know she has a heart for all of her children, Lord, for those that's not saved. I'm sure she wants them to be saved. And for Sister Karen as well, Lord, for your good hand upon her. And Stan and the rest of the folks up in Bangor. For Jade especially at this time. And for Mark and Jeremiah and Samuel and Faith. And we're not forgetting Anne and Eddie, Lord, and their wee grandson, Mason. You know, he has difficulties. He's on the autistic spectrum. I pray you, Lord, for wisdom for his mummy and daddy and for his granny and granddad, Lord, as they try to instill upon him the life lessons, Lord, that would stand him in good stead. We're not forgetting Brother Norman, Lord, and I pray your good hand upon him. I pray you, Lord, for wisdom, for divine protection as he contends with his stepson, Mark Withington, who needs to be saved, and his two daughters. Lord, you know everything that he needs, and I pray you, Lord, the victory. Please, Lord, give him the victory in that case, in all those cases, Lord. Please help him, Lord, as he grieves, and as he grieves over the loss of his wife. I know it was nearly 6 months ago, Lord, but it just seemed like not that very long ago at all. Please look after him, Lord, and comfort him this day. And we're not forgetting Pat and Steve. You know, they have many lost loved ones, Lord, and neighbours too. And I pray you, Lord, for Steve's and Pat's testimony to be a testimony to each one of them, Lord, that you would use it to draw them to the foot of the cross. Lord, please do put your good hand upon John and Stephen and Carol at this time too. Watch over and keep them. Pray you too for John's work and his Bible memorization. I think he's maybe pulled ahead a little bit on me there, but I pray your good hand upon him, please. For Norman Lord on his leg, and Nolan Jones down at the end of Maboy Road. For Terence McLaughlin Lord as well. For Carol Lord and her mom and dad, Harry and Marie. For Jane and Corey, for our other neighbours there. For Stephen and Anne Marie Lord, and for his family. And especially Lord too for Henry and Evelyn at this point. They're going over to England Lord to help out with a daughter that's about to have another baby. And this is the mummy and daddy of Isaac, who has the cystic fibrosis. Lord, please, I pray at this time that you would put your good hand upon them and help them and keep them, if you would. And we're not forgetting Lord Sally for salvation, and Sammy and Kate as well. And I know, Lord, there's poor health seems to abound in every hand. I pray you, Father, please, that you would extend lives and give portions of grace to all of those, especially Steve at this particular time. I never mentioned his legs, Lord, but please do pray. I pray you for your good hand upon him. And we're not forgetting Billy's old friend, Alan Leslie, and Lord Pearl Hetherington as well. Please look after my dad, John Bradfield. I know you know who he is, Lord, but and please look after Monica's mom and dad, Roger and Pat, as they listen to the church services as well. Help us always, Lord, to be a help. And for any other soul, not forgetting Maslam and Georgina and their two sons, their children that need to be saved, Lord, please, I pray your good hand upon them too. For any other soul that gets an opportunity to listen, please bless and keep. If they're saved, Lord, I pray that this would be a help. If they haven't chosen you as Saviour, Lord, I pray that would be a help in that too. Most importantly, Lord, I pray you, Father, for your will to be done in our lives. That takes two parts, and I know we have a part in that as well. And Lord, I pray that Christians would keep their eyes upon you. And even in these days when we miss a lot of things out in the world, we've still got you, Lord. No matter what they take away from us in the world, we've still got you. And we know, Lord, that you've still got us. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. Please, Lord, put your good hand upon the rulers of our country. We'd like to get back together again as soon as possible, Father. We pray that your will be done there. Put your good hand upon Monica and myself this morning, Lord, as we hold this service. And bless, again, I pray, each one of us. Thank you for loving us, Father. Thank you for watching over us. We pray your good hand upon us this morning. Amen. All right. Let's take our hymn books. Turn to 236. 236 is No Not One. No, not one. I had a request to mention the Bible verses that we would be reading as the service goes on, which I completely forgot about, as well as a name or two. I haven't forgotten you in all of our prayers, just the one we made at the start of the service. We're going to be reading in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, but we'll also be taking our message this morning from Mark chapter 10. So Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to be turning to that right now. And of course, if at any time during the course of the message you find that you're running out of time or I'm moving too quickly, well, surely all you need to do is press the pause button. That's the one with the two wee parallel lines. And whenever you find your Bible reference, well, you just press that button again and I should resume talking. You certainly don't want to press the square button because then I start from the beginning. But there you go. Ephesians chapter 4 is our Bible reading. Thanks again to Brother Steve for the suggestion of this portion of God's Word. I pray this will be a help to you. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just going to put my spectacles on, my reading glasses. Hay fever is beating the living daylights out of my eyes at the moment. So there, that's better. That's better. I was almost afraid of singing a few of the wrong words earlier on as well. Ephesians chapter 4. The Word of God says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. Thank you for that, Steve. We look forward to continuing on in the book of Mark for our message in just a moment or two. All right. This is now the part where we bring to the attention of everyone that's listening any of our announcements. So I just want to remind you of a few things that are upon my heart and mind this morning. First of all, I'd ask that you would remember Paul Forrest. Paul Forrest has not been very well for a long time. He has for many years had many health problems. Bad back, heart problems, I think maybe even diabetes and a few other things. And he is now in a care home over in America. I don't think he is up for any conversation, but do certainly pray for him. And goodness, just bear him up in prayer and pray the Lord's will be done. And we're not forgetting Leonard either. And we're not forgetting Elaine and Hillary. Those are Rita's daughters and their families. Rita went into eternity about 2 weeks ago, and family have been sorting their affairs out. They were up visiting with us at a socially acceptable distance during the week, and they passed on a token from them to the church, which we put in the plate, and we're very appreciative of that. We also offered the opportunity of a memorial service for Rita whenever things settle down, because there are so many people, I do believe, have been robbed of a proper farewell to loved ones. So please do pray about that, not just for Rita and her family, but for all of the families, especially those of believers that by law were not allowed at that particular time to say goodbye to those that had stepped off into eternity to walk the streets of gold and to see their Saviour face to face. So please do pray about that. We're not forgetting the Gilbert family over in Black Creek. Please do pray for them. And Pastor Asquith and my father-in-law, Roger Hain, Pastor Hain, as they minister to the Gilberts at this time. That's a couple of weeks back. They lost a wife and a mother and a grandmother and possibly even a great-grandmother as well. So please do pray for them. And of course, you know, the whole of Black Creek will be feeling the draft. It is a big family. It's not just a flesh and blood family. They say blood's thicker than water, and I certainly do believe that the blood of Christ is thicker than any other blood that we would like to lay claim to in this world. So please do pray for them as well. And just as we were singing there, it just struck me that we never mentioned Christie's name in our list of congregants that listen to us. Please do pray for Christy and Taylor and Terry and Lisa for their salvation. Please do pray for that, all of those souls, if you would. And one last request. Francis Cosgrave, one of the missionaries that we support, his brother is at the moment still very, very ill in hospital. I think he goes between days of not able to eat or refusing to eat because he's in so much difficulty, and eating a tiny little bit. Please do pray, not just that he get well, but more importantly that he gets saved and that it would make inroads into the rest of the family. I can understand the desire for your brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers to be saved. I am thankful that all of my family, all my brothers and sisters, brothers and sister, my mom and dad were saved. I would like for all my friends and acquaintances now to be saved. So, and that's Clive, and I think on Patty and Claire and Ollie and Emma as well. So, and that's just a few. But please do pray for Francis and his family at this time. Is there anything else, Mrs. Bradfield? If at any point, I think most of you should have one of the church hymn books. If there is a song in there that we all know, I want to put that down. This is for you, Will. That we all know, and that Monica doesn't have to play the keyboard for, that you would like for us to sing, and therefore for you to be able to join in with afterwards, send me a text or give me a ring and let me know. Make sure that I write it down or pass it on to Monica, and we will sing that for you in the next service so that you can join along with us. We love to sing, and we're glad to be able to praise the Lord. And if you have any suggestions, Steve has already given us suggestions for the Bible reading. He would normally be doing that at the front of the church. That would be Will's job on a Sunday evening. And if you have any songs, by all means let us know. If you have any special prayer requests, by all means let us know as well. I can't really say if anybody has a private prayer request, put up your hand, because I can only see Mrs. Bradfield and myself, and just about, if I look out of the corner of my eye, I can see my hand going up as well. But we know that each one of you has prayer requests, private prayer requests and petitions, just between you and the Lord, and we pray that the Lord grant them according to his will. Amen. I think that's about that. Is there anything else? Pray for our doctors and nurses. Pray for our countrymen. Pray for our country. The Lord is the master of the winds and the waves and the sea. Don't forget, He commands the animals and the creatures as well, and he can command viruses too. So pray that things get better in Northern Ireland, that we can get back to fellowshipping together. I've been asked a couple of times when church will be starting. I think somebody, I was looking last night, is it the 26th or the 29th of June? They're talking about opening churches as long as people stay a meter or two away from each other. And we're going to aim for that. And just pray about it. Pray that people are sensible, and these idiots that are out there rioting and causing bother don't just cause the spread of this all over again. People might be stupid, and in the eyes of God, we're all silly. We're all silly little children. But they all have souls, and they all need to be saved. And that is our desire. So I think that's about that. So have a word of prayer, and then we will sing another song, and then we will get into the message. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for loving us and watching over us. We pray you, Lord, that you would grant all of the prayer requests that we have mentioned here, but, Lord, most importantly, according to your will. Lord, we know that you want souls saved, and we know that you want your saints to be edified and to live and to walk close with you. And, Father, we just pray that now. For those that are grieving, Lord, we pray, Lord, that please just put your arm around them and help them at this time. For those that are ill, Lord, I pray that you would touch bodies and lift up. For those that are downcast, Lord, I pray for a measure of comfort and grace. But, Lord, most of all, we pray that your will be done. Please save souls. Please edify the saints. Please, Lord, give the leaders in all of our countries the wisdom to lead their countries properly. I think in our own country, Arlene Foster, Scotland's Nicola Sturgeon, England's Boris Johnson, America's Donald Trump, Russia's Vladimir Putin, Canada's Justin Trudeau. Can't remember Australia's, but I think his name starts with David. Hurley, I think it is. Kim Jong-un in North Korea, President Xi in China, and Lord, there's South Korea and Japan and Europe. Whoever's holding the reins in Europe right now, Lord, I pray you for wisdom. I pray you, Lord, for great conviction. I pray you, Lord, for the wisdom of Solomon for those that are honouring you and pointing in the right direction. But Lord, we do remember as well Israel for divine protection and help. And Lord, we do let us take every opportunity to fight the corner of the Jew and to honour and praise you, Lord. We love you and thank you. We pray all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Okay. We are going to sing now. Did we sing 236? That was the last one we sung. Yep, it was indeed. We're going to sing hymn number 173. 173 is Love Lifted Me. 173. This morning and turn to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 17. This will be a familiar portion of God's word for many of you, and I want to speak on the subject of you are loved. Mark chapter 17, and we're reading until verse number 31. Mark 17, beginning at verse number... Sorry, Mark 10, beginning at verse number 17. Mark only goes to 16. There you go. There you go. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, and honour thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again, and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Amen. Verse number 21 is our text, at least the first little bit of it, where the Lord said, Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him. Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and watching over us. Thank you for your word. Lord, most importantly for your Son, for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and for all the things that he gives to us and does for us since the day we accepted your Son as Savior. Please bless our time together, Lord. Please, Lord, be with those institutions, especially the ones that we support, Lord, Christian Institute and Kids for Schools. We're not forgetting Open Doors, Lord. And there's one other which just escapes my mind right now. But please, Lord, be with these and many others, Father, that are reaching out to lost souls in this land and around and about. Just thank you, Lord, for each man that has purposed in his heart to not be out of work at this particular time, Lord, but to take time to read and to study and to preach your word and to be a help to all of those, Lord, that have maybe discovered that being out shopping and eating out and being here, there and everywhere is not the most important thing in life. For when these things are taken away, and the only thing that's left is the most important thing, is you, Father. I pray you, please, that people would discover this before it is everlasting too late. And Father, we ask all of this, and your good hand upon myself and each soul that opens your Bible and preaches the full counsel of it. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Get my spectacles on. Amen. This is, I'm sure, a very, very familiar portion of God's Word. And I want to bring you just a few thoughts, or a quick Bible study on this, and then a few thoughts on the subject of you are loved. You are loved. I can almost imagine the crowds that used to throng the Lord Jesus Christ, because, goodness, he was forever doing miracles. He was forever raising the dead and casting out demons and making the sick well again and answering people's questions. And in this particular case, we see, well, a number of things. We see the free will of man. We see the great wisdom of God Almighty. And we see the love and the goodness, the depravity of a man's heart in refusing the free gift of everlasting life. Jesus is out and about, and there comes a young man running up to him, and he says, "Lord, how do I get saved?" And Jesus takes him through all the things that men do to try and get saved. "Have you been a good boy?" He says, "I have. I've obeyed my mom and dad my whole life. What about the commandments? Have you kept all the commandments?" And he says, "I've kept them from my youth." And then Jesus says, "Well?" And the young fellow says, "It's still not enough. There's something still missing. I don't have that peace, that contentment, that assurance of salvation in my heart." And then, verse number 21, Jesus says to him, but you have to remember the way in which Jesus says to him. He loves him. Seeing him, I can almost imagine him standing right in front of Jesus, and Jesus putting his hands on his shoulders and looking him straight in the eye, loving him and saying to him, "You have a problem with money. You love money more than anything else, and you love things and you love stuff more than anything. I'll tell you what you do." And this is not the way to heaven. This is the way to get rid of idols in your life. Jesus said, "Go and sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and take up your cross and follow me." And that's not the way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven just by getting rid of all your money. But Jesus was making a point that is how you get rid of idols. You get rid of idols in your life. And the young man, he left and he went away, and he was sorrowing because he knew there and then that riches and possessions had become an idol in his life, but he loved riches and possessions more than he loved God. Remember, it's not wealth that's evil, but as it says in 1 Timothy, the pursuit of it leads people into so much evil. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the truth and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's not having it that's a problem, it's loving it. And we know that it has a powerful grip upon people, because this young man went away sorrowing, very, very sad. We also know that the rejection of Christ for the cause of wealth is nothing new. But we also know, in the words of the Lord, how shall people be saved? Not with man and anything that man can do, but God can save. Because with God all things are possible. Does anyone recall to mind Zacchaeus? The words of the children's song is, "A wee little man, and a wee little man was he, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see." Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a wealthy man. And Jesus stopped at the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, we're going to your house for tea," in the words of the children's song. And whenever he came to the house, such was the impact of the Lord in his life that he said, "Half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have cheated any man, I will repay him back four times." That didn't mean he became poor, but such was the effect of the Lord in his life that he was prepared to give so that other people could be sorted out. He was prepared to give to show that the pursuit of money was now no longer his primary aim in life. When we have Christ first and foremost in our lives, everything becomes an asset or a tool for the cause of Christ. That doesn't mean you have to spend everything in the church and you have to give everything away, but you pay your bills and this, that and the other. But if there ever comes a time when the Lord really puts it upon your heart, when you read it in the Bible and it keeps jumping out at you, when circumstance keeps affirming that to you, and when you're greatly convicted about something, if God says, "I need you to do something for me with your money, with your lands, with your houses, with your talents," well then, you understand that God will not see you high and dry. And if he asks you to do something, he's going to see you through doing that thing. It's a tough one, especially in this world today where everything is dependent upon looks and possessions. And it quite literally is dependent upon looks and possessions. If you have grey hairs, you're old and useless. And yet, look at the many stupid things that people with no grey hairs do with their lives these days. See, people think that without something to catch them whenever they take a leap of faith, and most people are trusting in their riches and in their youth, that they're going to fall. And it's almost impossible for a non-Christian to do, because the Bible says the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. But it's almost impossible for Christians to do as well. But remember the words of Jesus. Whenever you have God as your Savior, as your Lord and your friend, your comforter and your guide, all things are possible, regardless even of what other Christians say and do. And the one that always springs to mind is Peter, whenever they were all out in the boat and they saw the Lord going to walk past them in the water. He says, "If that's really you, call me to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come on." Now, a lot of people think that at the very end it was that Jesus reached out his hand and saved Peter. But as soon as he put his foot in the water, Jesus had him in the palm of his hand. It was his command that the water wouldn't give way underneath him, that it would support him. And it was Peter's faith in God's power that kept him. And that's what we ought to do. It's a tough one. Because even Christians have worldliness drilled into them so much that they will give up the Lord and his standards and his teachings in a heartbeat. Once knew a man that gave up his Christian testimony for just over £3.50. That is how little it takes even for a wealthy man to give up on the Lord. Sometimes we have to give up the things that we want to get the things that we need. Or, as is sadly most the case, most often we'll give up the things we need to get the things that we want. Now, as we read this portion of God's word, the most important thing to me, at least this time around, is, because I love this portion of God's word, is that Jesus loves us. We are loved by the Lord. And we need to bear that in mind. The one thing that made the greatest difference to me as a lost man was when I believe the Lord said to me, "Read the Bible like it's written to you," because it is. And then as I read the Gospels, and especially all the red-lettered portions of God's word, the words of God started to find a place in my heart because God was speaking to me. And some of them seemed quite difficult, and it was a bit of work in the early days reading through it and reading about those things that God said he liked and didn't like, so many of which I was doing. But it started with God loving me. Some of the things that the Word of God tells us we are better off without seem totally natural to us. Like, it just feels so right. How can it be wrong when it feels so right? Our feelings are deceitful. They're wicked. They're desperately wicked. And we would do to get them under control. But others, some of God's laws, people will quite readily agree on. Like, you really can't go about murdering people. You can't go about stealing their stuff. And bad language just doesn't look good on anybody. But I need for you to know one thing, that God is no respecter of persons. And the same standard he levies on one person, he levies or visits on every person. So, whenever the Word of God says that Jesus looked upon this young man and beholding him loved him, in other words, he grabbed him by the shoulders and he held him there and he looked at him and he loved him and he said, "This is what you need to do." It's because Jesus loves us the same way as he loves that wealthy young man that came asking for help. Jesus knows and understands that all of our problems are not solved in a big bank balance, or in perfect health, or in the glory of the world and the praise of man, or in victory in war or battle, wherever they might be, nor in a successful family, a job, a career, business opportunities. These are not the answers to our problems. I once heard a preacher say that if we needed good health to get to heaven, God would have sent us a doctor or a surgeon. If we needed an education to get ourselves to heaven, if we could educate ourselves up to heaven, God would have sent us a teacher. If we needed health and fitness to get to heaven, he would have sent us a dietitian or a trainer, personal trainer. If it was victories in war or business, he would have sent us a strategist. Again, if we needed money, he would have sent us a banker. If we needed to feel good to get to heaven, he would have sent us an entertainer. But the Lord knew before the world was formed that we needed a Savior. And he loved us so much that his Son Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross of Calvary for each one of us. His Son, the Word of God made flesh, the Messiah, the Son of David, the Son of Man, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. And it is this, and it has always been this, and will always be this, that makes a difference in men's lives here and now, and the greatest of differences in the endless ages of eternity. So given that this life that we're in now, that we think is so very, very important, and it is only the first stage of eternity, of choosing where we will go and stay for the endless ages of eternity. There's no second chances once this life is over. This life is a second chance. Every day that we reject Jesus and the Lord gives us another day is a second chance. So make the most of it. What do you think a loving God would do knowing that this life, if we get 70 years, this 70, a few of us get more, some of us get markedly less, what do you think a loving God would do for you? I think it's pretty much the same what a loving parent would do for you. They would make sure that you're safe and fed and watered, that you're clothed and educated, that you're protected from badness, chastened even, with a slipper or the wooden spoon or a wee stick taken off a hedge, a wee bendy stick. Comforted whenever the tears start to roll down your cheeks and the plasters are put on, nursed, and the plasters are put on elbows and knees and heads and one thing and another. Everything we need, our parents, a loving parent would supply in order to make us a well-rounded person, able to look after ourselves and even prosper once we're stood on our own 2 feet. And every single good parent in this world is a pale shadow of what a great parent our Heavenly Father is. He wants to make sure we're safe for the endless ages of eternity, and so he gives his Son as our Savior. And once we accept him, he keeps us in the palm of his hand, and no man can pluck us out. He wants to make sure we're fed. And so he's preserved for us the Word of God. And he has said, and it has certainly come to pass this 400 years, the fact that we have a King James Bible means that his word, where he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away, is good. And also there's a little promise for the physical side of things in Psalm 37, where the psalmist said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He comforts us. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit provides so much. Wisdom, comfort, guidance, direction, strength, hope. All of those things. Whenever you repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior, he gives you the Holy Spirit in place of those repented of sins. And of course, the bit that no child likes, and indeed no Christian enjoys either, the chastening. We love the rest, don't we? We love the blessings. We love the wee coincidences. We love the bargains. We love the finding the car keys and getting the parking space. And those are the least of things that God would do for his children. Think about the great things that he was doing. But you know what? When God says no and when we say yes, or when God says yes and when we said no, we come to the straightening out of children. You know, it's a little bit like, I remember there's a number of plugs in the church here, and I don't know what it is about little flickering lights in children, but they just love to poke at little flickering lights and little lights. And I remember all of the children pretty much that came to the church at one time or other sat down beside a plug with a light on it and started switching it off and on. That's just the way we are. And I can even attest to the great attraction that knives have for little children. It's not the bread knives either. It's the big knives that mummy and daddy use that are kept well out of the way. My right hand is covered in scars that my left hand inflicted whenever I didn't know any better about knives and saws as well. God goes to the hedge and he plucks off a switch and trims off the leaves. And he says, you and I need to have a little chat. You've been doing stuff you shouldn't have been doing. And you know you shouldn't have been doing it. And then, just like mummy or daddy would take a wooden spoon or a slipper or even their hand and give us a few licks, not to kill us, but to teach us that there are dire consequences to disobedience, the Lord will do the same. And sometimes, it might be a withdrawal of fellowship until we think, hold on a wee second, I feel the draft. God is gone and I feel the draft. Sometimes it might be a loss where God has to stop us in our tracks or divert us another way. Sometimes, sadly, there have been a few instances that have passed into popular memory of being chastened even unto death. I remember an account, I may get it wrong, of a young man that was saved and wanted to hang around with this new bunch of biker friends that he had, and his mom and dad said no. But he said he's going out anyway, and that night he was killed. Another preacher that used to love the demon drink was found in a bar by one of his parishioners, who asked him what he was doing here, and he said pretty much that he was going to have a drink and then God was going to kill him, and that's exactly what happened. He was given to sin. I don't know if you've ever come across one of these American TV shows called Mountain Men, where there's like a documentary into the lives of a few people that live in the mountains of America. And this one particular snippet was about two men that were cattle wranglers. And they'd been sent up into the mountains to gather the cattle before the snow killed them. And they got them all but three. First one they got, they were able to turn it round and head it down towards the rest of the cattle, and they got it into the trailer. The second one they came across had been attacked by animals and stripped bare weeks and maybe months previous. The third one had these two huge horns on it. I'm sure that was why it was still running about. But it had its mind fixed and running in the opposite direction. And as soon as it saw these two cattle wranglers, it took off running. Now, it couldn't outrun them and their horses, but it took off running in the wrong direction. So they ran up to it on their horses, and they tried to direct it down towards all the rest of the cattle, but it would not go. Instead of going back to the herd the quick and easy way under its own steam, trotting or whatever, they had to rope it. So it was a rope, one man's rope around it, and he stayed on the left. Another man's rope around it, and he was on the right, and they had to walk the stubborn cow back down again. And that just made life slow and awkward and hard. And you know what? Sometimes that's us. And God says no killing people, he means no killing people. The same goes for theft and lying and sexual sin, rebellion, dishonoring your mother and father, idolatry, bad language, and all of that stuff, all the commandments and all of God's teachings. He means it. And don't think you'll be a better person, or certainly indeed a better Christian, by ignoring what God has to say. There's an old saying in this neck of the woods, you can't run with the fox and hunt with the hounds. You can't. Christian, you can't live a lost life. It will wreck you. The Holy Spirit will convict you and convict you and convict you until you get sorted out. You'll not be able to do that too long before you start coming across consequences. Even when the Word of God says to obey it rather than the laws of the land. I'm not putting ourselves in an opposition to the government, but when the government says that it's okay for homosexuals and lesbians to marry, they can say whatever they like. God says it's not. When they say it's okay to kill your unborn child, you can say whatever you like. It's not right. When God says get to church, when God says spend time reading his word, when he says spend time in my presence, you have an open invitation and I love you, I want to hear from you, or praising, singing his songs, or getting out there and telling other people, helping the brethren, tithing, yes, that means 10% of what you get week by week, at least, studying and memorizing his word, he means it. And it's not to punish us. And if you think that, you're in the wrong building and you're listening to the wrong person, for you anyway. You're listening to a false Christ. He tells us these things because we need it. And he knows it. If you asked any mechanic what would happen to an engine if you don't put oil in it, he'll tell you this. It'll run for about 10 miles and then it'll overheat and then all the pistons and things will seize. The engine block could even crack. And your car will be worthless. You might seem to get along for a while without all of these things, but you'll not get very far. If you think about the world today, and you think about all of the things that's going on, even the things that are touted as normal in churches, like yoga classes and things, that's Eastern mysticism, that's paganism. Like doing the best you can, that's more paganism. It doesn't matter what church or what minister says it, they're wrong. Or telling people you don't need to get saved, that is a lie from hell itself. When you look at the magazines and you see naked bodies of men and women, when you turn on children's TV programming and that's what it is, and it's filled with the occult and rebellion, whenever you listen to people and they think that going out for a night's drinking, drunkenness, and then sleeping around, sexual immorality, is a bit of crack, and that not remembering what went on is the best way to live your life. This is all around us, even in our shopping centres and in our so-called respectable stores and homes. When profane language is the order of the day and false teachings seems to be much preferred to the real teachings of Christ, it's no wonder we need the Holy Spirit with us every moment of every day. It is no wonder that God loved us so much that he gave the Holy Spirit to each and every person that loves him. Before Christ gave his life on the cross, he promised. He loved us so much he spent 33 years, give or take, amongst us. And he loved us so much even during that 33 years and all the years of his that of our existence, not his existence, but our existence, that he wanted to spend forever with us, that he gives us the Holy Spirit. And one of our readings said, the Holy Spirit, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit by which we are sealed unto the day of redemption. We are kept, we are comforted, we are strengthened, we are made wise by the Holy Spirit. He'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. He gave us backbone, grit and provision because he loves us. When he went up to heaven, he made good in that. The Old Testament said one of the prophecies, one of the promises of God was that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And that's what he's done. Every single person in this world has had the Holy Spirit poured out upon it. Every single person in this world has been convicted by the Holy Spirit. And those that have listened have been sealed and kept by the Holy Spirit. Jesus sees every part of our lives and he knows what's absolutely the best for us. Not to make him look good, but to make us good. To make our lives better. He knows what's best. And he promised that everything will work together for good. I came across, what was it, a TV program. And it was a pretty reasonable TV program, but they mentioned the Word of God from time to time. They said, everything will work out for the best. Everything will work out for the best. Everything will work out for the best. And every time there was an obstacle that this family had, they said, oh, everything will work out for the best. I have news for you. It won't unless you're saved. Unless you've repented of your sins and you're doing things God's way. See, God loves us. Hugely loves us. Unlimitedly loves us, if that's even a word. And he spent the whole of my life with me since the day I got saved, and he'll do that for anybody. Everything will work out for the best to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Just a verse or two later it says, and what shall we say to all of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? But what am I going to do? How am I going to do X, Y, and Z? If I'm living for God, how am I going to get on in life? And verse number 27 of our text says, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. You're loved. Even you hate Jesus with all of your being, you are loved because he will keep trying to reach you. He loves you. He loved Hitler. He loved Stalin. He loves Kim Jong-un. He loves Vladimir Putin. He loves President Xi. He loves Angela Merkel and whoever might be holding the reins to the EU. He loves President Trump. He loves David Hurley. He loves Justin Trudeau. He loves everybody, even Boris Johnson, even Leo Varadkar, a homosexual and an adulterer and a fornicator. He loves them all. And he'll love them until the day that they go into eternity. And if they don't repent of their sins, the Word of God says the wrath of God will be poured out upon them. Friends, we don't want that for anybody. Certainly not God. He takes no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. He wants you to live forever with him in heaven, in the streets of gold. But you know what? He also wants to live with you right now. And he wants the best for you right now. Remember you're loved. And when the Bible tells you to do something, when the Holy Spirit convicts you about something, you're loved. Even if it seems to hurt. You're loved. And you're better losing that right eye, right arm, right foot. And living for Jesus Christ, what seems to the world to be a hampered and crippled existence, than going to hell laughing and joking and cajoling. Amen. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Our closing hymn this morning is, if I can get it, 232. Tell me the story of Jesus. 232.
Tell me the story of Jesus.
No, that wasn't.
going to go again this time. We are not doing an introduction.
Tell me the story of Jesus, right on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels ignore us, sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, right on the heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past. How for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell me the story of Jesus, right on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Sorry about that. Some of those songs are a bit tricky. Amen. All right. Thank you all for your good time and attention. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you in the flesh very, very soon. But in the meantime, know that you're loved. Jesus loves you. We love you. We want the best for you. And you're held up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, for this time around your word and in your presence. Pray you, Lord, please, for your good hand upon us. We love you and thank you, Lord. Please look after us until we meet again. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Have a good Lord's Day. Amen.